Okay. In order for this shiur to work, you have to pretend it's late at night on Shavuos, because that's really what I prepared it for. It's one of these Shavuos topics. I'm not sure of the conclusion, but the topics are interesting. They're worthy of discussion. They're just the kind of topics we don't really talk about. The relationship between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. There's all kinds of interesting sources. We'll do the sources and, you know, we'll conclude or not conclude as we wish. It will not bother me at all if people disagree with the observations I'm going to make. We're going to try to learn together, see what happens. But first of all, the shiur will be or is sponsored by Robert Friedman, Lizecha Nishmas, his father, Nachman Shimon ben Moshe Halevi, whose 37th yard site is on Shavuos, which is Vav Sivan. May our learning, you know, liyas neshama for him. Thanks for the sponsorship, and thanks, Robert, for separately emailing me with ha'aros to the shiurim when you see them. Okay. We want to talk about the relationship between two people who live 1,500 years apart, Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. So obviously it's not their relationship so much as a comparison between who they are. Just a word of introduction. We're going to learn an Agadata from Menachos. It's a very famous Agadata, but we have to talk about how we learn Agadata. Most people say, it's a phrase you hear very often, that Agadata is not meant to be understood literally. Now, there are two ways you can understand that statement. One is, if it's not meant to be understood literally, it's not that important. It's just some kind of, you know, tale that people tell. The Maharal thought the opposite. The Maharal thought it's not understood literally because it's simply too important to be understood literally. And a literal explanation robs it of its depth and its nuance. And the Maharal, who wrote Sfarim on Agadatas, felt strongly that there are deep messages to be found in Agadatas and they need to be taken extremely seriously, but not literally. Okay, that's first. Now let's just introduce our two characters who obviously need no introduction. And that is Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. So if we start at the first source, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need a Medrash or a Gemara to support his uniqueness and his greatness. He has a Pasuk. After Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about him, which we'll read about it next week. You'll read about it in 2 weeks. Vayomer, Shimu Nadvarai. God says, Im yihye nevi'achem Hashem b'mara elav et vada b'chalom adaber bo. If I have prophets, says God, I appear to them in visions. I appear to them in dreams. Lo chein avdi Moshe b'chol beiti ne'emanhu. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. B'chol beiti ne'emanhu is one of the great phrases in Tanakh. Right? God obviously doesn't have a house, and if he had a house, Moshe was never in it, if it was the Beis HaMikdash. But it's a euphemism. God says Moshe lives in my house. He comes and goes as he wants. I speak to Moshe, again, not literally, face to face, not in a vision, but with clarity. He sees my picture. And then just for the context, okay, Moshe has the most full-throated endorsement of his greatness and his uniqueness by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's more than one pasuk, and it's incredible. And based on this and many other sources, the Rambam says in his 13, you know, foundational principles of faith. So it's interesting is number 6 is to believe in prophecy, but then number 7 is to believe that Moshe is the greatest prophet ever. Vayisoda Shivii, in source number 2, Nivuat Moshe Rabbeinu. Vahu says the Rambam, Shena Amin Shehu Avihen Shel Kolha Nivim Shekodmu Fanov Vehabaim Acharav. Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all the prophets, those who came before him, something which is hard to understand, and those who came after him. Kol Haim Lemata Mimenu B'ma'ala. every other prophet.
Was it always over here?
I don't remember.
Stanley, I think your speaker is still on. Okay? Everyone under him, I'm sorry, every other prophet in the world is under him. And now the bolded words, V'hu b'chir Hashem mikol ha-min ha-enoshi, says the Rambam, not given to overstatements, Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest human being ever. Okay, it's as simple as that. The way he got prophecy from God was in a direct communication. There was no interpretation needing, nothing like that. And then finally, you come to the end of the Torah as if we needed more proof, and we don't. In source number three, the Torah says, V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kim Moshe, asher yida'o Hashem panim el panim. There never was a navi like Moshe, who God spoke to face to face. Okay, so there's no chiddush here, and there's not much to debate. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet ever, and almost certainly, you know, the greatest human being ever. Now, it's not our topic. We could talk about what does it mean to be the greatest human being ever. We know that the Torah endorses Moshe as the most humble person ever. Does that make him the greatest human being ever? My guess is not. So it's a little hard to know what makes him the greatest human being ever, but the conclusion is clear. He is, he was, he will be the greatest human being ever. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's Rabbi Akiva? So in case you didn't know, and this needs slightly more explanation, Rabbi Akiva is the father of Torah Sheba'al Peh. At the end of the story in the Gemara about the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, right, the primary cause for our mourning during Sfiras HaOmer, which, by the way, L'chol Adeos is over, the Gemara says that after the 24,000 Talmidim were wiped out, Rabbi Akiva reestablished five new Talmidim. Okay, now you look at source number four, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says as follows, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Stam Masnisin Rabbi Meir. Right? Every Mishnah that doesn't have the name of a Tana in it is said according to Rabbi Meir. Stam Tosefta is said according to Rabbi Nechemia. Stam Sifra, okay, get Toseftas are minor league Mishnayos. Sifra are drushos of Tanaim on Vayikra. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifrei, that's drushos of Tanaim on Bamidbar and Devarim, is Rabbi Shimon. Vikulhu Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. That means the basic foundations of Torah Sheba Alpeh, Mishnah, Tosefta, Sifra, Sifrei, they're all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which means Rabbi Akiva is the father of Torah Sheba Al Peh as we have it. So simply put, if you want to start somewhere, and we do need to start somewhere, we start with the following. Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of Torah Shebichsav. That doesn't need any explanation, right? Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. We got it all through Moshe. Rabbi Akiva is the father of Torah Sheba Al Peh. Now, to be the father of Torah Sheba Al Peh is harder than being the father of Torah Shebichsav, because it's not given in one moment. There's no like official corpus of Torah Sheba Al Peh. Nevertheless, the basic texts of Torah Sheba Al Peh were articulated by the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, thus making Rabbi Akiva the father of Torah Sheba Al Peh. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. Now we can learn the Gemara that I want to learn with you, which will form the core of the shiur. Source number five, Gemara in Menachos Chaf Tes Amud Bet. Says the Gemara, and it really is, you know, I'll try to point out all the things that I think are exceptionally unique about this Gemara. We won't have time to talk about all of them. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. When Moshe went up to Shamayim or to Har Sinai, it's very, very hard to translate that term, presumably to get the Torah, which is why this happened on Shavuos, or I guess right after Shavuos. Mitzao lahakadosh baruch hu sheyoshev v'kosher kitarim la'otiyot. He found God sitting and literally tying crowns to the letters. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, mi ma'akev al yadcha? Who's causing you to have to, you know, I'm here to get the Torah. Clearly the Torah is not ready to be gotten yet. Who's causing you to do this? You know, why are we delaying the giving of the Torah while you write these crowns? Amarlo, God says to Moshe, Adam echad yesh she'atid lihiyot b'sof kama dorot va'akiva ben Yosef shmo. There is a man who's going to live at the end of many generations from now, again, about 1,500 years, and his name is Akiva ben Yosef. She'asid lidrosh al kol kotz v'kotz tilin tilin shel halachot. He will, one day, darshan mounds of halachos from each of the crowns that I am placing on top of the letters of the Torah. Amar lefanav. Okay, Moshe listens to this, and he finds out there's such a wonderful person who's going to be born. Ribono shel Olam, he says, Hareyuli. I want to meet him. So when I said before they never met, the Gemara thinks they did meet, sort of. Amar lo, so God says to Moshe, Chazor la'acharecha. Go back. Okay, it means, you know, time travel. Halach v'yashav b'sof shmoneh shurot. So Moshe, whatever this means, goes to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, and he sits, the Gemara tells us where he sat. He sits in the eighth row. V'lo haya yodea mahein omrim. This is an experience we all have. This is the easiest part of the Gemara. He's sitting in the shir of Rabbi Akiva. He's not following. He doesn't understand what's going on. Tashash kocho. Tashash kocho is probably something like he gets depressed. Right? He's sad. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's giving the Torah, and he can't follow Rabbi Akiva's shir. Kevan, so he's sitting there, let's say, depressed. Kevan shehigia ledavar echad. In the middle of the shir, they got up to a certain point. Amrulo talmidav, Rebbe minayin lecha. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva say to Rabbi Akiva, how do you know this din? What's the source for what you just said? Amar lohen, halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai. It was given to Moshe at Sinai. Now Moshe's sitting in the shir, and he's not following, and he hears this. For some reason, the Gemara says, nit yashva da'ato. Moshe felt better. And the moment that he found out that the shir that he didn't understand was based on halach l'Moshe mi-Sinai, it made him feel better. And now you see Moshe's humility. Chazar uva lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He returns from this vision, and he says to God, Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, yesh lecha adam kazeh, va'ata notein Torah al yadi? There's a Talmud Chacham Rabbi Akiva. He's giving a shir that I couldn't possibly follow. Why do you want to give the Torah through me? You should give it through this person. He's a serious Talmud Chacham. Amar lo shtok. God says to Moshe, be quiet. Kach Allah b'machshava lefanai. This is my plan. Don't question me. Okay, so presumably Moshe doesn't want to question God. So he asks a different question. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Her'isini Torah so. You've showed me his greatness. You've showed me his Torah. Har'eini scharo. Let me see his reward. This Rabbi Akiva is, you know, the greatest person I've ever met. He must get this amazing reward in Gan Eden. Amar lo, God tells him again, Chazor la'acharecha. Go back. Time travel. Chazar la'acharav, Moshe goes back. Ra'ash sheshoklin bisaro b'mikulin. He sees that they're weighing the flesh of Rabbi Akiva on scales in the marketplace. We all know that Rabbi Akiva died, you know, a martyr's death. They scraped off his skin. He's one of the Asar Haruge Malchus. God chooses to show Moshe the very end, just the flesh of Rabbi Akiva. Now Moshe is not that happy. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Zo Torah v'zo schara. This is the reward that Rabbi Akiva gets, the greatest Talmud Chacham ever. Omar lo, God says to Moshe, shtok, be quiet. Kach Allah b'mach shava lefanai. This is what I decided. Okay, this may be the most interesting Gemara ever. The outline is easy to follow, right? Moshe goes to get the Torah. God is still working on the Torah. Moshe asks him why he's delayed. So he says he has to make these crowns for the letters. Again, all of it is bizarre. What do you mean God has to make the crowns for the letters? You know, God created the world in a week. You know, he could make crowns on a letter in a second. He's above time. He's above space. He's all the thing. Okay, there's that. So he says the reason is it's going to be somebody named Rabbi Akiva, who's going to darshan halachos. Moshe says, can I meet him? God says, yes, you can. Moshe goes to his base medrash, cannot follow the shir, is depressed. Then he finally hears Rabbi Akiva explain a halacha by saying it's a halacha l'Moshe misinai. Moshe feels better, returns to God, asks God, why doesn't he give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva? Because he's clearly a bigger Talmud Chacham than Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever that means. God tells him, none of your business. Kach Allah b'mach shava lefanai. He's not even going to explain it to him. That's what I decided. Moshe then asks to see the reward of Rabbi Akiva, and God shows him the most horrific scene ever. They're weighing Rabbi Akiva's flesh in the market. Moshe angrily, presumably, says, this is his reward. He's the greatest man ever. Once again, God says, be silent. You can't understand these things. It's my decision. I have no need or no responsibility to explain it to you. Okay, what's going on? What's going on is, when we'll try to do it line by line as much time as we have. But on some basic level, what we're encountering in the difference between Moshe and Rabbi Akiva is the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebichsav does not have any chidushim from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? No one ever said over a vart from Moshe Rabbeinu. No one ever had an insight from Moshe Rabbeinu. No one has a dvar Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu, shared a personal insight into Torah, it would call the whole Torah into question. Right? Because we believe Chamisha Chumshei Torah are word for word what God gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Word for word. That does not leave room for any personal input on Moshe's part. On the other hand, Torah Sheba Alpeh leaves tons of room for input from Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that's the background. That's the basic point we're going to try to play through. So first of all, now let's read the Gemara more slowly and try to do it line by line. So first of all, what does the Gemara mean when it says in source number 5, again, the Gemara we're learning the whole time, Menachos, Chav Tesem, and Bet, Bisha'a Sha'ala Moshe Lamarom. The Gemara in Sukkah says it never happened. No one ever went up to the Marom, even though there are a number of Gemaras that use this phrase, Bisha'a Sha'ala Eliyahu Lamarom, Bisha'a Sha'ala Moshe Lamarom. I think one possible explanation could be, what does it mean to go up Lamarom? So in source number 6, the Gemara in Yevamos, Memtes Amud Bet, says, Kiditanya, Kol ha-nevi'im nistaklu ba-aspaklaria she'eino me'ira. All prophets, saw God or saw visions through, let's assume it means, frosted glass. They didn't see clearly. Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel ba-aspaklaria ha-me'ira. But Moshe saw clearly. What does it mean? What's the difference between seeing clearly and seeing through frosted glass? I think the answer is, we don't see God. To see clearly in this world would be to see God operating in this world. The reason we don't see it is because we don't see things clearly. But Moshe found God every day in every place he looked. And so it could be that Bisha'a Sha'ala Moshe Lamarom isn't supposed to be understood as Moshe literally going up to the heavens. It's Moshe meeting with God. And Moshe could meet with God in a way that's understood as Allah Lamarom, but because he saw the world clearly and he saw God's presence in the world clearly, it could happen in this world. It can't happen that way for the rest of us because we don't get to see, you know, behind the matrix, Lahavdil. But Moshe did, and so Moshe was able to meet with God without leaving this world. Okay, the phrase that he found God, Yoshev v'kosher kitarim, is obviously bizarre, because the image of God sitting is not something we understand, and certainly the image of God tying is not something we understand. But what does it mean, kitarim? So Rashi, in source number 7, says, kigon hatagim de sefer Torah, right? Anybody who's ever looked in a sefer Torah knows that the letters have crowns. One line going up, two lines, three lines. Okay, apparently that's what God was doing so that Rabbi Akiva would be able to darshan them. Now, are they part of the Torah or not? When the Torah says, you know, when the Gemara says that he was making crowns, what does that mean? Well, are they part of the Torah or not? So here we come across a really, really interesting idea in Chazal that we have to try to understand. When you read Chamisha Chumshei Torah, so the sense you get correctly is that after Shavuos, Moshe went up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and that's where he got the Torah. Is that where he wrote the Torah? That's the machlokas in Chazal. Did he write it all there? Did he write it over time? Okay, but the sense we have and the simple understanding of Torah is that Moshe got it, you know, in the first year in the Midbar, on the fifth, you know, sometime after the 50th day after Yitzias Mitzrayim. But there is a strain in Chazal, and it's a serious strain, that talk about the primordial Torah, the Torah that existed prior to creation, the Torah that existed before history. And that God, you know, istakel ba'oraita ubara alma, God ki'ilu looked in the Torah and decided to create the world, or created the world according to the blueprint of the Torah. What does all that mean? So there's another great, but let's look at some Gemaras. Okay, look at source number 9. No, that's not it. Look at source number 8, which is another amazing Gemara. It has the same phrase we have. Amar Rav Shobin Levi. Right, this is the Gemara in Shabbos Peches Amud Bet, where all the good Shavuos Gemaras are. Bishaah Sha'alam Moshe Lamarom, when Moshe went up to the heavens to receive the Torah, Amru Malachei Asharet Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Mali Yilud Isha Beinenu. Basically, what's he doing here? We're angels. Man doesn't belong here. So God says to them, Amar Lohem, Likabel Toraba. Oh, he's here to get the Torah, as if it's no big deal. Amru lefan of the Malachim say to God, wait, Chamuda Genuza, the greatest treasure, Shenignizah lecha tishameyot v'shivim v'arba'a dorot kodem shenivra ha'olam, which has been hidden 974 generations before the world was created. Obviously, there was no such thing as a generation before the world was created, but nevertheless, that's the phrase, right? Here they say, the Torah preceded the world. What, you want to give it to human beings? They say, God, it's not worthy of human beings. It should be kept in heaven, and it should be guarded by Malachim. So it's amazing. So God says to Moshe, who's cowering, answer the Malachim. Moshe says to God, Ribono Shalom, Misyare ani shema yisrufuni bevel shebifihem. I'm afraid of them. They could incinerate me. Omar lo echoz b'kisei chvodi v'chazor lohem tshuva. God says, hold on to the kisei akavod, whatever that means, and answer them. And here comes the point. Omar lefanav. So Moshe, the way the Gemara explains it, Moshe talks to God, but clearly he's talking to the Malachim. Ribono shel olam, Torah she'ata nosein li maksiv ba, what's in the Torah that you're giving me? Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Omar lohen, he says to the Malachim, le'mitzrayim yaradetem? Were you ever in Egypt? Le'faro ishtabaretem? Were you ever enslaved to Paro? Torah lama tehelachem? What do you need the Torah for? Shuv maksivba, lo yelacha elohim acharim Bein hagoyim atem shruyim sheovdim avodah zarah. Do you malachim have a yetzahara to worship avodah zarah that you need a prohibition on worshiping avodah zarah? Shuv maksiva zachor siyam hashavos likadisho. Klum atem osim malacha shatem tzrichim shabbat. Do you need to rest? You're malachim. You don't go to work. Shuv maksiva lo tisa shem hashem akach alashav. Masau matan yesh beinechem. Do you go to work? Do you go to court? Do you have to swear? Shuv maksiva kabeda savicha vesimecha. Av ve'em yesh lachem. Do you have parents? Shuv maksiva lo titzach lo tinaf lo tignov. Kina yesh beinechem. Do you get jealous? Yetzara yesh beinechem. Miyad hodu lo lahakadosh baruch hu. The Malachim immediately told God, you're correct, Torah belongs to man, Shenemar, Hashem Adonenu Mo'adir Shimcha B'chol Haaretz. V'ilu T'naho T'cha L'Hashamayim Lo'ksiv. That's when the Malachim acknowledged Moshe Rabbeinu and acknowledged the fact that Torah actually belongs with human beings and not with Malachim. Okay. What in the world did the Malachim think in the first place? What was the Hava Amina that they would keep the Torah and not human beings? Weren't Moshe's points obvious to both sides? Isn't it clear that the Torah is written for human beings who are weak and who sin and who have a Yetzirah? What in the world were they thinking? So it turns out there are two Torahs. That doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. There are two Torahs, meaning there is a Torah that existed before the world existed. Now, how does it have history in it? I don't know. But that's a Torah that's pure and pristine and unsullied by averos and unsullied by human behavior and all the bad things that we do from time to time. And that's what the Malachim wanted to keep. That Torah in Chazal, and we'll see it in a second, is written Eish al gabei levena. It's written in fire, you know, on white. That's not our Torah. Our Torah is written on parchment with ink. And the moment that we find God in our Gemara writing the Torah literally and making crowns on the letters so that human beings can darshan them, that's the transition from, you know, one type of Torah Shebichsav to the other type of Torah Shebichsav. From the Torah Shebichsav, that's not understandable, that's not accessible to human beings, to the Torah Shebichsav that is accessible to human beings, the Torah Shebichsav that we have. What does that Torah Shebichsav look like? So look at the Ramban in source number 10. The Ramban, in his introduction to the Torah, says as follows. V'hatam lichtivat ha-Torah b'lashon zeh. Why is the Torah written in Hebrew? Mipnei shekidama libriyat ha-olam. Because it preceded creation. Ein tzarich lomar l'leidato shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course it preceded Moshe's birth. Ki Moshe ba lanu b'kabbalah shayta kituva eish shechora. I'm sorry, I said it wrong before. Black fire al gabe eish levena. Hine Moshe kisofer hama'atik misefer kadmon v'kotev v'lachen katav stam. What the Ramban is explaining is, why doesn't the Torah start with Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor? And the answer is because the Torah pre-existed Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe was basically copying from an existing Torah. What did that existing Torah look like? So the Ramban says, Od yesh biyadeinu kabbalah shel emet, ki kol ha-Torah kula shmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The original Torah was written as a string of letters that Kabbalistically spelled out God's name. Shehatevot midchalkot l'shemot b'inyan echad. When you don't have words broken up and you just have a string of letters, so says the Ramban, you can read it in all kinds of different ways. Ki'ilu tachshov al derech mashal, ki pasuk bereshit, yitchalek l'tevot acherot. So he said, instead of reading it, bereshit bara Elokim, kigon, you could read it, Barosh yit bara Elokim. V'chol ha-Torah kein milvad serufehem v'gimatrusehem shel shemot. Says the Ramban, the original Torah, whatever that means, was written without being broken up amongst between words. It was a string of letters. a string of letters can be read all kinds of different ways. It's not clear what they mean. That was the Torah that Malachim had. But when it came time to give the Torah to man, Moshe Rabbeinu had to write it down the way we have it, broken up by words, broken up by psukim, broken up by paragraphs, in a way that only allows for one form of reading. So there was a type of transition. You know, when we talk about this Torah Shebichsav and this Torah Shebaal Peh, according to what we've seen so far, well, there's really the pre-existing Torah Shebichsav that none of us have ever seen, that the Malachim wanted to hold on to because it's not understandable by us. Then there's the Torah Shebichsav that is uniquely understandable by us. We who have parents and understand what Kibud Av V'Em are, you know, we who have a Yetzer and understand what Isurim look like, it's for us. The Malachim thought they could hold on to it, but at some point God said, no, the world I created for human beings, not for Malachim. Okay, that's the introduction to understanding the Gemara. Now, how do we understand Rabbi Akiva? When the Gemara says, Adam Echad Yesh Sha'atid Liyot B'Sof Kama Dorot Va'akiva Ben Yosef Shmo. Right? The idea that the Gemara identifies him by name and by the name of his father, I think, makes it obvious that he's a human being. He's not playing on Moshe's level. Moshe was a human being also, but he was playing in a different league. But was Rabbi Akiva smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu? It seems like the answer is yes. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand his shir. Now, there's two ways not to understand a shir. I'm not that smart. It could be that people aren't understanding the shir because I'm not being so clear. I don't know. But the point is, the Gemara makes it sound like Rabbi Akiva knew more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that possible? I think the answer is no, but with the caveat. And let's try to discuss it. What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah? What does it mean that when the Gemara says, Kol ma she talmid vatik atid lechadesh, Moshe knew, right? There's a Gemara that says, Moshe knew every chiddush, everything that we're saying now, Moshe knew it. But he couldn't follow the shir. What does it mean that Moshe knew it? I think the answer is, Moshe knew it in potential, but not in actuality. By which I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was given Torah Shebichsav, and was given all the tools that we use nowadays to understand Torah Shebichsav. Okay? He wasn't necessarily given the conclusions. I think it's possible for somebody to say something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think of, because the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva said something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand it, why was he consoled when Rabbi Akiva said, oh, it's Alach LeMoshe MiSinai? How could that have made Moshe feel better if he didn't know it? So Rashi says, no, the reason it made him feel better is because he understood it was something he didn't get yet, but that God would teach him in the future. But probably the better pshat, or at least a potential pshat, is that Moshe got it in potential, but not in actuality. Moshe was given the raw materials, which Rabbi Akiva used to darshan later things, right? I assume it's a machlokas Ramam and Bahagut. I assume Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know anything about Hanukkah. I think I know more about Hanukkah than Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't happen yet. I think we know more about Purim than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the raw materials that allow us to establish holidays like Purim and Hanukkah, but he never knew what Purim and Hanukkah was. And that's the way I see the Gemara. When the Gemara says that Moshe didn't understand the shir, and then Rabbi Akiva says it's halach l'Moshe MiSinai, he was afraid that Rabbi Akiva was working with materials that were not his materials and that don't come from Torah Shebichsav. And when he heard that it was halach l'Moshe MiSinai, he understood that Rabbi Akiva was working with the raw materials that he received.
Eli
was the Adon HaNevi'im. But Rabbi Akiva was not a Navi. Rabbi Akiva was a Chacham. It's a different league. The rules are different. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, again, is the Adon of Torah Shebichsav. But Rabbi Akiva is the Adon of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And Rabbi Akiva has more flexibility and more. There's more room for human input on Rabbi Akiva's part than there is on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. Again, if Moshe Rabbeinu had any input, it would undermine the authenticity of Torah Shebichsav. But if Rabbi Akiva says something in a Mishnah, he's allowed to. He's a Chacham. Nobody thinks that Rabbi Akiva ever went up to Shamayim and got the understanding that he has from God directly. He's playing in not a lower league, I would say, but a different league. And Chachamim are allowed to do things that Nevi'im are not allowed to do. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva had more flexibility than Moshe Rabbeinu. The crowns were not really part of the Torah that Moshe received. They were not part of the original Torah. The crowns are part of the human Torah. That's the part that we own. That's the part that allows us to live in a world of Torah Sheva Al Peh. That's what allows us to take ownership of the Torah. If you look in source number 11, Amar Rava, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Yud Tes Amud Aleph, La'olam Yilmod Adam Torah B'makom Shelibo Chafetz. Nobody ever does this. You should learn what you like to learn. Shenemar Kim B'Torat Hashem Cheftzo, Va'amar Rava, B'tchila Nikret Al Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, first it's called Torat Hashem, V'Livsof Nikret Al Shemo, but then it's called by our name, Shenemar, B'Torat Hashem Cheftzo, U'V'Torato, meaning my Torah and your Torah, Yehege Yomam V'Layla. What's the process by which we take ownership of the Torah? How does it turn from God's Torah to our Torah? The answer is our own insights, our own understandings, right? Our own Kenyan Torah, by which we turn it from the Torah that the Malachim had, that we don't have access to, that we can't understand, to a Torah that we own and that we feel comfortable enough with that we can actually be mechadesh things and share our own insights and talk about our own understandings. Okay, so far, I don't know if anybody agrees, but so far we have a theory by which we're working through the Gemara. What we now need to talk about...
Yes. Ellie, yes. According to that, though, there are certain things which Moshe did do on the Torah Shebichsav, which then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to him, which implies that he did do some darshaning.
So first of all, let's be fair. He didn't do it in Torah Shebichsav. He did it in a Gemara, right? I mean, I don't think, Jackie, your point is a fair point. I don't think you could point to me a pasuk in Torah where it looks like Moshe Rabbeinu was darshaning a halacha or saying something, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu disagreed with. You're right. There's a Gemara that says that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos without God's permission and God agreed. You know, I think those are all human actions. Let's face it, Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, right? The greatest human being in the world, I'm sorry to say, was not allowed into, I wanted to avoid it, but you messed me up, Jackie, so we'll talk about it for a second, right? Right? And God says, no, I'm not letting you into Eretz Yisrael. I could get to this at the end, but I'll do it now, okay? What does it mean when the Gemara here says, shtok kach ala b'mach shava lefonai? It means that even the greatest human being in the world is not entitled to understand everything, right? So you and I don't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand why Rabbi Akiva was not the person who gave the Torah, and worse, why God chooses to show Moshe Rabbeinu the tragic end of Rabbi Akiva, and even worse than the tragic end. There are things that we're just not entitled, we're not entitled to understand. We're looking at a Gemara in which Moshe Rabbeinu is in Shamayim, and he's talking to Malachim, however you understand any of these things. And at the end of this Gemara, Moshe says to God, why? And God says, none of your business. Right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu is completely limited by the fact that he's human. And so you're right. The fact that he can sin from time to time, I don't think at all raise, I'm not familiar with a single source, maybe you are, where Chazal are worried or somebody's worried that Moshe made up a halacha. It's just not something that we ever dream could possibly happen. We think that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Eved Naaman and Pe'el Pa'a Daber Bo, and what exists in the Torah is 100% what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write down, without the slightest doubt. You know, when the Rambam emphasizes the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, part of what he's doing is saying, you know, living in a time with Muhammad and after Jesus, you know, he's saying Moshe Rabbeinu did not say Chidushim.
Hosef Yom Echad Midato was not a Chiddush?
It's not a Pasuk. It's a Drasha. We're going to read, I challenge you to show me where you can find it in Torah Shebichtav. Okay, the authenticity of Torah Shebichtav, I believe, is based on the fact that no one in the history of the world until Rabbi Jackie Schlanger ever suggested that Moshe made up halachos. Okay, even the Gemara that says what you just quoted, that Moshe hosif yom echam idilei, it's not a halacha. Moshe presumably said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need an extra day of preparation before you give us the Torah. Right? It's not fair the way you're presenting it, as if he changed the halacha. He didn't. He asked for, presumably, an extra day. And God granted it to us. Okay, let's go backwards for a second before we get to the end. Why couldn't Rabbi Akiva have given the Torah? Isn't Moshe right? Couldn't there have been a benefit if the person who gave Torah Sheba'al Peh was also the person to suggest an answer? Because the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, shtop, be quiet, kacha laba machshava lefanai. But on the other hand, not to be too cute, the Gemara put it there for a reason. I think the Gemara expects us to try to understand that line. And my understanding of the line, not, you know, plenty of people say this. I stole all this stuff from plenty of places. But I think the answer is there needs to be a clear demarcation between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. It can't be that the person who gave Torah Shebichtav has chidushim. Because again, that undermines the authenticity of Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav had to be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah Sheba'al Peh had to be given by somebody else. Okay, Rabbi Akiva earned the right to be that person. But I think the answer that the Gemara is hinting at is it can't be one person, because they're two separate, corpuses, okay? They have to be separate. Otherwise, the magic of Talmud Torah would be lost. Because there have to be things we can darshan and things with which we can be creative. And there have to be things that this is what God said. I'm 1,000% sure this is what God said. How do I know? Because Moshe wrote it down. Okay. Now we come to the end. And the end is the hardest part, I think. Moshe Rabbeinu is all excited. He met a person who he greatly admires, right? Here we see Moshe's anava. Imagine God says, could you please give the Torah to Klal Yisrael? And you say, you know what? It should be this other guy. He's much better than me. It's incredible. Then you come to this moment and Moshe says, what's his reward? Okay, it's a strange question to ask, but Moshe asked it. Now, it's true. Rabbi Akiva died a martyr's death. But Rabbi Akiva's death is much better than what God shows Moshe. Right? We all know Rabbi Akiva's death is source number 12. It's a Gemara Brachos Samach Alfam Bet. We'll do it quickly. I think we have a minute. B'sha'asha hotziod Rabbi Akiva lahariga zman kriya shma haya. It happened to be zman kriya shma v'yu sorkin es b'sroba masrekot shel barzel. They were combing the flesh off him. V'ayam mekabel alav ol malchut shamayim. And he was saying shma. Right? This is inspiring stuff. Amrulo Talmidav Rabbeinu Ad Kan, even now, Amar Lohem Kol Yamai Hayiti Mitzta'er Al Pasuk Ze B'chol Nafshecha, Afilu Notelet Nishmatcha, Amarti Matai Yavol Yadi V'Akaymena, V'Achshav Shabal Yadi Lo Akaymenu. Why doesn't God show Moshe this story? This is really inspiring. Hayam Arich Be'achad Ad She'etza Nishmato Be'achad Yasa Ba'az Kol V'Amar Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, okay, what a great moment, right? One of the greatest moments in Jewish history. Much like Moshe, they say to God, what is this? Moshe was right. Rabbi Akiva went to Olam Abba. Why couldn't God show him that? So here it's complete speculation. I really don't know the answer, but I think the question is stronger than the answer, right? The Gemara says that God shows Moshe, Rabbi Akiva's flesh being weighed in the marketplace. But that's not what Moshe wanted to see. Moshe could have seen Rabbi Akiva's martyrdom and Malachim praising him and his Talmidim crying, and he would have seen a person who's dying a death as beautiful as ever happened in human history. But God doesn't show that to Moshe. He shows him just the end. It's hard to know what to make of that. I suppose what you're supposed to understand is that, you know, Moshe was given this horrific scene, and God wanted to shake Moshe up. And when Moshe questioned it, God says to him, it's none of your business, right? Schar va'onesh is none of your business. No human being gets access to how it works. Does it mean that there was no meaning to Rabbi Akiva's martyrdom? It can't be. What it means is that God didn't want to share that meaning with Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, I think you're faced with this situation where you have the greatest person in the world, Peh el peh adaber bo b'marev lo b'chidot, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is operating on a level that we don't even dream about. And God says to him, none of your business, right? You do not get to understand my ways. And if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get to understand God's ways, you know, sad to say, alachas kama v'kama, we don't get to understand God's ways. And I think on some point, it comes back to some form of Naaseh v'nishma. Now, if we think the purpose of the Torah is to ultimately be rewarded, so God says to Moshe, it doesn't work that way. The purpose of the Torah is to obey the Torah. The purpose of the Torah, and particularly Torah Sheba'al Peh, is to perfect the world. God gave us a Torah that was pre-existing and perfect in that way. God changed that Torah to make it accessible to human beings like us. And then God told us, you can perfect Torah, you can create more Torah, you can expand the Torah via Torah Sheba'al Peh, just like God gave us a world that was imperfect. God gave us a world with COVID and cancer and wars and all kinds of things. And he told us to perfect the world. Nobody thinks the world that God created was perfect. And it's not because God couldn't create a perfect world. Just like God could have obviously created the Torah that was more accessible and more perfect. But God asks us to partner with him. And the hardest part is God asks us to partner with him and to trust him even when he won't reveal his motivation, you know, and why certain things happen. And that's the hardest part. Nobody wants a partner who keeps secrets. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that's the partnership he's offering us, right? The Torah is the foundation of the world, but it's also the purpose of the world, and it's also the goal of the world. And in the most religious way, Torah is supposed to grow with us. There needs to be a separation. Torah can be only given through Moshe Rabbeinu, but then it can be perfected through other people. And that's Torah Sheba'al Peh. And it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for that to happen. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. That's why he's sitting tying crowns on top of words of the Torah that are unnecessary for most people. Because he wants to give us the raw materials by way we will one day darshan the Torah. And we're still darshaning the Torah. And it is still the most authentic way to partner with God. When a person feels like they have an insight, okay, one of the greatest feelings ever in learning is when you feel like you're the first person in the history of the world to have seen this idea. Okay, you're probably not the first person in the history of the world. I know I'm not. But it feels pretty good. And in that moment, you feel like you're partnering with God. And in that moment, you feel like you're perfecting the world. And in that moment, you feel like what you're doing is not just intellectual, it's religious. And you're helping, you know, Torah grow with the world. I assume if God tried to tell Moshe Rabbeinu the laws of electricity on Shabbos, it wouldn't have worked. Maybe it wouldn't have worked for Rabbi Akiva either. But it works for us, right? The world does it. Advancing is the wrong word. My instinct is there are parts of history that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand because he hadn't seen that type of history before. You know, I guess he knew anti-Semitism, right? That I assume, you know, that's something you pick up in Mitzrayim easily. But I think there's stuff that happens in the world that you don't understand until you can look at 1,000 years, 2,000 years, you know, whatever it is. And I think much like, you know, time travel, well, there's no such thing as time travel, I'm sorry, you know, air travel and technology and all kinds of halachas that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't possibly have understood and therefore weren't given to him, we're responsible for those. That's Torah Sheba Al Peh. Okay? When poskim say, you know, that turning a light off on Shabbos is an Isser D'Oraisa, that's not in the Torah. That requires using the tools that were given to Moshe to see that. Now, does that make electricity bad? No. Electricity is helping to perfect the world, as are a million other innovations that we have. And halacha has to keep up with those things. But we have to understand the difference between d'oraisas and drabanans. We have to understand the difference between the Torah that God gave us, the Torah that existed before the world, you know, and the Torah that we're darshaning now. They're not two completely separate things, but they operate on different levels. And as the world advances, Torah advances with it. Torah doesn't change, and the things that God tells us, you know, remain true. But there is a march towards perfection in the world, and that march towards perfection in the world is matched by, you know, perfection in Torah. And every day that a Jew sees something new in Torah and has an insight in Torah, he's advancing the world. He's advancing our relationship with God. And the ultimate goal is, you know, to perfect the world. And perhaps that's the ultimate goal. Maybe the ultimate goal isn't Olam Haba. Maybe the ultimate goal isn't Mashiach. Maybe the ultimate goal isn't the reward. The ultimate goal is to advance the world and to perfect the world. Something that Moshe Rabbeinu did in his lifetime, something that Rabbi Akiva clearly did in his lifetime, and something that we want to do in our lifetimes. All right, I did my best with a difficult Gemara, but I think, you know, whether the things I said are true or not, the Gemara is the Gemara. It requires or demands our attention and demands from all of us trying to figure out what are the messages that are buried in it and what do those messages mean for us. A good Yontif to everybody. And I guess we'll be back next week.
Chag Sameach. Thank you.
Chag Sameach.
Good you. Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Yontif,
Shabbos. Good Yontif.
Thank you, Ali.
Good Shabbos. Good Yontif.